You may dry ground where once were oceans, where once were mountains. You made them low where there were stones. Now there is water. You satisfy my thirsty soul. Strength in knowing you are near me, and peace that you alone bestow. I love you more today than ever, and I just wanted you to know. Where there is fear, Lord, you will hide me. When winds of danger around me blow, I feel your arms of grace around me, and I just wanted you to know there's strength in knowing.
Amen. Sometimes it's just good to tell God we love Him.
Amen.
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 My pastor, my father-in-law, one time he was preaching a message, and he said, "I just want to encourage you to do something." He said, "Go and just shut yourself in a closet somewhere, just by yourself, where no one's around you can distract, and just get alone with God, and just wait a few moments, and then just say these words. Just say, 'God, I love you.'" You ought to try that sometime. It's good stuff. Amen. And I'm glad there's strength in knowing that God's near. He's a very present help in trouble. I was sharing with Brother Calvin before church about how nervous I was. And it's funny how you never get over it. Doesn't matter how many times you preach or get before people, whether it's your first time. And maybe that was Carter's first time here, and he did a great job, didn't he? And it's encouraging to me to see these young men step up and pray and read Scripture and pray over the offering. It's just a blessing to my heart. Whether it's your first time or whether it's your 500th time, you never get over the nerves. But man, there's strength in knowing we don't have to do it alone. Amen. Somebody with us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 was our text. And Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And then he said, "So run that ye may obtain." In other words, Paul said, we're running a race, And he said, if you're running a race, you may as well run to win. No sense in running to finish second or running to try to get in the top five or running just to finish. He said, we're running in a race and we may as well run so we can get the prize. He said, one receiveth the prize. Now, if you watch sports on television, you know that the winner's the one that gets the trophy. Sometimes they'll give the runner-up some kind of a consolation, but that's nothing like getting the prize, the winning trophy. There is a little bit of a difference in sports today and the Christian race, because there's going to be more than one Christian that gets a prize. Paul's just using an analogy here, but I believe what the teaching here is, if we run like we're running to win and we stay faithful and finish our course, we will receive the prize. And that's the thought tonight. I'd like to preach on run and running to win, running to win. Now, the past couple weeks have been very exciting to be a part of Fellowship Baptist Church, haven't they? I tell you, my heart was overflowed with joy last week as we stood here and Brother Benny came and gave us the good news that the mortgage was paid off. That's God. Amen. Amen. That's God. And I was among the doubting Thomases, if I'm honest. There was a part of my heart that said, you know what, I don't know. I'm thankful. I'm thankful God's put some men of faith here. Amen. And sometimes I'm not always the man of faith that I need to be, but it taught me some things. What God did Sunday night, I think, will help me in times moving forward when I'm in the same situation. Don't doubt God. When God puts something on a pastor's heart and says, this is what we ought to do, then let's just trust God right on to the very end. Amen. I'm sure that all of Jesus' disciples, they probably had lost faith and began to doubt after he had laid in the ground for a couple of days. Seemed like all hope was lost, but that's usually when God starts working, isn't it? He usually waits to the last minute so he can get all the glory. And I'm glad to be a part of it. But I began to think a little bit about what God's doing here in Fellowship Baptist Church and how he's worked in the past here, and Lord willing, how we'll get to see him work in the future. And I want to do something by way of introduction. I think it'd be good just for some of us, especially our young people, to see some things I'd like to bring out. Now, the first thing I'd like to do is, if you were here when Fellowship Baptist Church was started, would you raise your hand? Do we have anybody here that was here when Fellowship Baptist Church, you were a member of this church when it started? And I want you to look around. We've got a few folks that have been here since Fellowship Baptist Church started. Okay? That's a blessing, isn't it? I mean, just stuck through it. Started here and said, you know what, we're just going to continue here. That's a blessing. Now, what about those that you've been here 10 years or more? Would you raise your hand? I've been at Fellowship Baptist Church 10 years or more. Look around you. 10 years or more. That's a blessing. All right? Now, I'll be in this group 5 years or more. That's me. That's some of you that have been here 10 years. You go ahead and raise your hand too. All right, how many would say this? I've been here less than 5 years. Raise your hand. That's a blessing. Look around you. I've been at Fellowship Baptist Church less than 5 years. Isn't it good that God's just, he's mixed us together? I mean, we've got some charter members. We've got some that's been here 10 years plus, 5 years plus. We've got some that's been here less than 5 years. It's a blessing. And some, I'm sure those, of course, that have been here longer than others, you've seen a lot more ups and downs than those of us that's only been here a few years have seen. Me and my family have been here 5 years. It'll be six in October. And you know what? Be honest with you, we've seen mostly up. When we started coming, Fellowship Baptist Church was going up, and it's still going that way, and we praise God for it. And we ought not take it for granted. And we all understand that churches go through seasons, and churches go through times, and I just praise God. It's been a mountain climb, and let's keep on going to higher ground. Amen. Now, this is what I'd also like to do. I'd like to notice the children a little bit. If you're here and you're in the third grade and below, would you stand up? I want to see you. You're here, you're third grade or below. This is our primaries. Third grade and below. And we've got the nurseries probably full. We've got several back here, third grade. Some on the front right here. Third grade and below. That's a blessing, isn't it? All right, you stay standing. And now I'd like the juniors, fourth through sixth grade, you stand up and join them. This is everybody sixth grade and below. In church on Sunday night. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Sixth grade and below. All right, if you're in the teen department, that's junior high, seventh, not the teacher, seventh through 12th grade, stand up and join them. Now, this is everybody 12th grade and below. Young people here, 12th grade and below on a Sunday night. It's a blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
Let's do this. Now, if you're 25 and below, stand up and join them. 25 and below. There's no science behind why I've chosen these numbers. 25 and below. It's a blessing, isn't it? You know, you can go to a lot of churches across America, and this group right here is few and far between. They're few and far between. And I don't know, in the next 10, 20 years, there'll be no more church there. But I'm thankful we've got some young people here that's on church on a Sunday night. And you know what? I'd be willing to say that the vast majority of these folks will be here Wednesday night. Amen. That's a blessing. Now, you can be seated. Now, I'd like to see if you're between the age of 25 and 50. Would you stand up? 25 and 50. That's a pretty wide. You say, why you got to cut it off at 50? I want to see 25 through 50. All right. Praise God. That might be pretty even. The group may have the young group outnumbered by a little bit. That's good. All right, now if you're 50 plus, 25 to 50, sit down. Now if you're 50 plus, I'm going to get you to stand up. That's very vague, right? 50, if you're right there close to 50, right? 50 plus. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Now, isn't it a blessing that one group isn't vastly outnumbered by the other ones, is it? That's God's putting something together here. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I just wanted you to see that. You know what? The 50-plus group, very important. That's our experience. That's our leadership. That's our wisdom. And if we're not careful, we'll think, well, man, we got to make it all about the young folks, and there's no place for the elderly in church. That's foolish. And I thank God for these men, these women that are there for experience and to set an example for those that are following behind them. And I began to think about the importance of church ministry progressing into the future and how it's going to be very important that some leaders step up, right? And as time passes and if Jesus doesn't come back soon, we're going to need more and more leaders to step up. And let's just be frank, we got some big shoes to fill. And a lot of times when we think about this idea of passing the baton, we think about the pastor. And I'm not trying to say that our pastor needs to pass the baton. But can I say that the pastor in the church is not the only one that somebody needs to fill the shoes one day.
Amen.
I began to think as we were here practicing one night, Thursday night, music practice, there were some men here building these stands for these poinsettia trees. And I began to think about all the work. Listen, when you came to that Christmas dinner, can you imagine how much work went behind setting that up? I know how much work went behind getting it back ready for Sunday. But I promise you, there was a lot of work that went behind getting it set up for Christmas dinner. The pastor wasn't the only one here doing it. I hope I wasn't here. You weren't by yourself, were you, Pastor? There's some people. No, I'm trying to get you to understand. There's some people here that do a lot of work behind the scenes. And if Fellowship Baptist Church is going to build on the foundation that God's laid, we're going to need some of our young people to step up and fill those shoes. And this is the burden on my heart. Not just Fellowship Baptist Church, but churches in America. Listen, you can go to churches across America. I know from experience across the Southeast, and you can see that at one time there was a church on fire for God. There was a church that had a solid foundation doing a great work for God that now for one reason or another is no longer doing it because a generation passed off the scene and they turned around to pass the baton, but there was nobody to pass it to. May that not be the case here. May God help us to be ready to receive the baton. You see, so the message tonight's not just about passing the baton, but it's about young people. There's some things that you need to make sure that you do so that you're going to be ready to receive the baton. Because we don't want those ahead of us to be reluctant to pass the baton. How many of you, you're familiar with a relay race, right? And they run a lap and then they come around. And if you notice, they don't do it like we did it in school. They pass the baton to someone that's already running. Right? So if God's going to allow my generation, the generation behind me, to receive the baton, that means I can't wait till I got the baton in my hand to start running. There's some things that I need to be doing right now. So young people, you may say, well, I don't have a leadership. Maybe you may think that your role in the church is maybe not that important. It's very important. You see, because you got to be running before you get the baton. If not, then you're going to lose time. You're going to go backwards. And I've never seen anybody win a relay race that tried to do it that way. Well, I'll just wait to start running until you pass me the baton. You're going to lose. You're not going to run to win. So the key, I believe, for longevity at Fellowship Baptist Church is we got to train up young people who are prepared to receive the baton. Now, I don't believe this is going to happen all at one time. I don't believe that we'll look back and we'll say, well, on this date, man, that was the time when the baton was passed. I believe that it comes in phase. I believe it's a long, gradual process of this person's not able to do the things they used to, and they're gradually changing their role while this person is gradually increasing. And I believe that's the way it happened. That's the way it ought to happen here. And what I want you young people to understand tonight, this is Youth Sunday, and I really want you to listen up because I want to gear the message to you, but it's not just for young people because all of us are in a role to where we're going to have to fill somebody's shoes. But young people in particular, be ready to receive the baton. We don't want one day for the elder generation to look at us and say, well, man, I'd love to pass the baton, but I got to keep doing what I'm doing because they won't be faithful. It doesn't seem like they have any love for God. I can't see the passion in their life. I can't see the desire in their life that I know that I have in my heart, right? Because I will promise you, it'd be very hard to pass the baton off to somebody that's not running. I'm just going to try to run and finish myself, right? And that ought not be the case. That ought not be the case. So what's the key? Well, we got to train our young people, right? We got to train our young people, hey, in this thing called Christianity, in this thing called Christian service, we ought to run to win. We ought to give it all we got. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. He said, run to win. If you're going to serve God, go all in. Hudson Taylor said, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. If he's God, let's serve like he's God. Amen? Let's give it all that we've got. So what's it going to take to run to win? That's the message. What's it going to take to run to win? Number one, it's going to take some preparation. Right? Notice what Paul said in verse number 25. He said, and every man that striveth for the mastery, in other words, every man that's trying to win, is temperate in all things. He's going to exercise some self-control. Just very simply put, if somebody's going to try to run a race, there's going to be some things they say no to, right? Some of you young men, you're familiar with this guy named Usain Bolt, right? I don't know much about the man. Only thing I know is he can run real fast, right? He can run really fast. Have you ever heard of Usain Bolt? I promise you that his diet is not McDonald's and Burger King, right? He's taking care of himself. There's some things that he's saying no to so that he can prepare himself for the race because he's preparing to win. And I believe that most races I've seen him run in, he wins. You know why? Because he's prepared himself. There's some things that he said no to. He's temperate. Notice what Paul said in verse number 27. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Paul said, you know what? If I'm going to run to win, there's going to be some things I got to say no to. There's going to be some things I got to stay away from. And young people, if you're going to run your life to win for Jesus, there's going to have to be some things you say no to. There's going to have to be some friends that you say no to. There's going to have to be some television shows that you say no to. There's going to have to be some games that you say no to. Amen. So that why? So that you can say yes to God. Now, you don't say no to those things just to say no. I'm saying no to these things so I can say yes to serving Jesus. You might have to say no to sports one day so that you can say yes to Jesus. You might have to say no to a hobby one day, something you really enjoy. Why? Because it's sinful? No. But so that you can say yes to Jesus. You got to prepare to win. You say, winning doesn't come just on its own by itself. Winning comes because someone took the time to prepare themselves to win the race. And young people, listen, if we're going to take the baton and run with it, we got to do some preparation right now in our life. Amen? We got to prepare to win. I think about some people in the Bible that prepared. You remember Joshua. Joshua was the man that received the baton from Moses. Can I tell you something? Joshua didn't start being a leader when Moses died. Joshua began to prepare while Moses was still alive. And if you read, you'll find that Joshua, when Moses would spend time with God there in the tabernacle, and Moses would meet with God, when Moses would leave the presence of the Lord, the Bible says that Joshua, he would stay behind, spend time with God. Amen? You know what he was doing? He was preparing to win. He was preparing to receive the baton one day, so that one day when God was looking for a leader, he said, you know what? I'm going to get Joshua. I want to find somebody who knows what it is to live in my presence. Joshua prepared. David prepared, did he not? Now, David didn't just show up one day and whip Goliath. He said, Saul, you know what? I think I can take him because God's had me out on the backside of a sheepfold one day, and a lion came up and a bear came up and tried to steal the sheep, and I took care of them. God was preparing David for Goliath. But first, he killed a lion and a bear. Now, as young people, listen, and sometimes I still classify as young. I can still relate. You know what? We want to go for Goliath, right? We want to go and get God's best for our life. But the way that happens is in stages. You see, God's never going to use you in a position of leadership in a church if you first don't conquer your Bible reading. If you first don't learn what it is to memorize your Sunday school memory verse. You say, oh, well, that's not important. It's very important. Now, if we teach our children that, oh, your Sunday school lesson, oh, whatever. You know, we'll try to memorize it on the way to church. I've been guilty before. All right, but listen, we got to teach. Hey, that's important. That's what God's put in front of them right now. And if that's not important, guess what? What God puts in front of them in 20 years, it's not going to be important. God prepared David. God prepared Joshua. The Bible says that Ezra. You remember Ezra from Nehemiah chapter 8? Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood. He preached and revival broke out. You know why? Because Ezra, the Bible says in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments. Ezra prepared himself. Men down through the ages have prepared themselves. John the Baptist was prepared. What a great preacher. What a great man of God. You know what the Bible says about the way John the Baptist was raised? The Bible says that he remained in the deserts until the time that his public ministry was about to happen. He was in the deserts. Now, I don't know about you, that don't sound like a very fun place to be. But you know what? He separated himself from things that would hinder him from preparing for the ministry that God had for him. It's very important. He was preparing himself. Jesus' disciples, they spent time with him. You know why? They were preparing themselves for the ministry that God had for them. Now, how as a young person, you say, Brother Brandon, I'm just 6 years old. I'm just 8 years old. I'm 12 years old. How can I prepare myself to run the race to win? Listen, it's very important. Number one, you need to keep a pure mind. Be very careful about the things you read. Be very careful about the things that you watch. Be very careful what goes through your eyes and what goes in your ears. Because the Bible says those two avenues, the eyes and the ears, that's what got Lot messed up. He vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing what was going on in Sodom. So as a young person, it's very important the things that you watch. Parents, it's very important the things that we allow our children to listen to and the things that we allow them to see. Let's put the Bible in front of them. Amen. Let's put some preaching in front of them. Let's put some good spirit-filled music on the radio for them. Amen. I believe if we do that, we're helping raise up a generation that's ready to receive the baton. Amen. Keep a pure mind. Number two, develop a personal walk with God. Now listen, I am all for family devotions. I think every family ought to have family devotions. But can I tell you, there's times when I tell my children, after family devotion, hey, you know what? You go pray tonight. Daddy can't do all your praying. Amen. You need to walk with God. You talk to God. You bear your heart before God. You see, parents, we can't do all the praying, all the serving for our children. They've got to develop a personal walk with God. So I want to encourage you, listen, young people, there ought to be a time in the day when you spend some time in the Word of God. There ought to be some time in the day when you get alone and you pray. You pray for that family member that's lost. You pray for that family member that's not in church. You pray for your church. You pray that God would do a work in your heart. Pray that God would help you to grow in the knowledge of His Word. Pray that God would help you to be a better soul winner. You can do that. You don't have to wait on mom and daddy to come and do all the praying for you. Develop a personal walk with God. Amen? And then also, learn what it is to have some responsibilities. Amen. I believe our young people ought to have some. You say, what's so important about that? Well, if they don't have any responsibilities at home, how are we going to teach them any responsibilities at church? Amen. Hey, you know what? I was glad for the day when my son was old enough to walk. I started teaching him how to cut grass. I didn't start quite that young. He's shaking his head. But can I tell you what? He's been cutting the grass for probably 2 years now. Got him a push mower he can push, and some of y'all looking at me like I'm a slave driver, borderline. I came home from work one day, he had the grass cut. Praise the Lord, amen. Hey, teach him some responsibility. Teach him, hey, listen, there's some things that are expected of you. My daughter Emily, she irons my shirts. Praise God, she can cook, she can sew. Praise God, we're still working on Maddie, all right? But listen, I'm not the exemplary husband and father, but what I'm trying to say is that we got to teach our children some responsibility. Amen. And man, it's a blessing to see these young men back here. Man, I love it. Back here ushering, they're taking some responsibility. Man, they're learning what it is. We got young people that help on the bus ministry. It's great. Amen. It's wonderful. And we ought to teach our young people, hey, learn some responsibility. Amen. And as soon as they're able to take it, let's let them take it and run with it. Amen. Learn some responsibility. Number one, it's going to take some preparation. Number two, it's going to take some perspiration. If you're going to run to win, it's going to take some sweat. It's going to take some perspiration. I've never seen an NFL or NBA championship or even a baseball championship where at the end of it, they were interviewing somebody and they weren't sweating. Right? I mean, that's one thing that you always notice. Man, they're interviewing the one that scored the most points and they've got their helmet off or they got a towel. Man, they're just constantly having to wipe the sweat off. You know why? Because they put forth some effort. Hey, if you're going to run to win, it's going to take some effort. Amen. You're going to have to put forth some energy. Notice what Paul said. Look, if you will, at verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race, not jog, not walk, not skip. He said, hey, we're running. I'm running the race. Run all. And then look at verse number 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery. The word striveth there implies an effort. It actually implies agony. Hey, I'm putting my heart and soul into it. If you're going to do something for God, young people, guess what? There's going to be times when you're going to be tired. There's going to be times you're going to have to just press through. There's going to be times, listen, where you're going to have to work till you're tired and then keep on working. You know what we do a lot of times, man? We work right up till the time God wants to bless and then we quit. Hey, let's not quit. Amen. If we're going to be ready to receive the baton, we're going to have to learn what it is to perspire. Amen. To work hard. We're going to have to learn what that is. Now, what does that mean? I think it means this. We got to do more than the bare minimum. Running to win is more than just showing up for church. I think that's our mentality. Well, I'm running to win. I come to church 3 times a week. Come on. I try to challenge my Sunday school class with that. Come on, really. We ought to be at church 3 times a week. But you think about how much would not get done here if all we did was come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If that's all we did, what would get done? Just what we're doing right now, and then we go home and do the same thing, and nobody gets saved, right? No buses, no events. So listen, I want to challenge you. Do more, young people. Do more than the bare minimum. Learn what it is to go the extra mile. Learn what it is to do something for God on Monday. Learn what it is to do something for God on Saturday. Spend some time with God during the week. Amen. Hey, it's more than just coming up, showing up for church. This is easy, folks. Amen. Especially if you're like me and you live 5 minutes away. 5 minutes, come here, sit on a padded chair, climate control, right? Good fellowship, good Christian friends. One of the easiest things I'll do all week. But I'm telling you what, if we're going to serve God, I mean, if we're going to do a work for God, souls getting saved, lives getting changed, marriages getting put back together, amen, community getting turned upside down, that's going to take some sweat. Now, I'm not eliminating God from the equation. It's going to take God, but God's going to use some Christians that's got some sweat on their brow to do it. God never did use a lazy man. Every time in the Bible, when God wanted to use somebody, he found somebody that was working. Amen. Elisha, guess what he's doing? He was plowing. The disciples, they were fishing. Matthew, he was collecting money, right? They're all doing something. And God always uses somebody that's busy. And then let me tell you this, young people, listen. Build on the foundation that your parents have laid. Listen, if not all of the young people that are here tonight, the children, you're here because your parents brought you here. Praise God for that. Amen. They made you come, and they ought to. And you're here because of that. Now listen, they're laying a solid foundation in your life. Listen, build on it. Build on it. Why do people lay a foundation? Not so they can just say, oh man, we got a pretty foundation. What if the pastor were to put these plans up here and say, you know what, we're just going to go out here and we're just going to lay the foundation for it. And that's all we did. Well, none of us would be excited about that, would it? You see, foundations are laid so they can be built upon. And young people, your parents are laying a foundation, and a foundation is being laid here at Fellowship Baptist Church so that one day it can be built upon. And so one day, we've got, I don't know, maybe 4 dozen of these flags or 3 dozen of these flags around. One day, maybe we can have 10 dozen. Amen. 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 And one day, maybe we'll be able to say, hey, the sun never sets on the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church. Amen. You see, a foundation's being laid so that we can build upon it. In other words, young people, don't be afraid to do more for God than your parents are doing. Amen. Amen. You say, well, that doesn't happen most of the time. Well, don't tell me that. Don't tell Brother David that. Don't tell our pastor that. I'm not slinging mud. I'm just saying, hey, don't use your family for an excuse that you can't serve God. I don't buy it. You're telling the wrong person. Amen? Hey, if you want to serve God, you build on the foundation your family's laid. Amen? Go higher. Amen? It's going to take some perspiration. Number three, it's going to take some passion. Hey, listen, if the generation before us, if they're going to pass down the baton and we're going to run to win, it's going to take some passion. Look what he said in verse number 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. And then notice what he said. So fight I. Paul was fighting. Man, it was a struggle. This was something that took some passion. If you're going to serve God, it's going to take passion. It's going to take more than something just shallow. It's going to take something deep in your heart if you're going to serve God for years to come. Can I ask you something? Can I ask you, teenager, something? Where's your passion? What do you love? What's got your heart? I mean, really, come on. What is it that excites you? What is it that stirs you up? Football? Video games? Worldly music? Boyfriends, girlfriends. Hey, listen, I understand. Some of all that stuff we like as adults, right? You can shake your head, yeah. Where's your excitement for Jesus? Amen. Amen. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Put your heart in it. As to the Lord, not unto men. Man, Paul said, if you're going to serve God, put your heart into it. Can I encourage you? Man, if you're going to sing, put your heart into it. Amen. That's why I've told Marcus time and time again, listen, God's just blessing Marcus with a loud voice. Amen. He can put it out there, man. He can sing. And I told him, that's a blessing to my heart. It'd be a shame that for God to give him that ability and for him to pipe it down a notch or two. I say, man, if God gave it to you, use it. Amen. Sing. Amen. Hey, listen, when we stand up as a congregation, We ought to sing. We ought to put our heart into it. Amen. If we had any neighbors here, they ought to be able to hear us. Amen. They just built a house over here across the street. That ought to be our goal. We stand up and sing as a congregational. They ought to be able to tell what we're singing. Why? Hey, because we're passionate about it. Hey, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Amen. Let's put some heart into it. If you're going to teach, if you're going to preach, put some passion into it. Into the preparation, into the delivery. There's got to be some passion. Amen. Amen. There's got to be some passion. Where's your passion at? You read about some of these missionaries that had a heart for God. Man, they had a passion. Pastor David read about C.T. Studd. You ought to read some about his life. You talk about a man that was passionate about serving God. He didn't have time for somebody that was half-hearted. And it was evident. He was a famous cricket player. And you may laugh. He was from England. Famous cricket player. Could have went perfect. Could have made a lot of money. Could have been famous. You know what he said? I'd rather be a missionary. He got a hold of something that was more valuable than sports. Amen. And his eyes began to be open to Jesus, and his eyes and his heart began to get a fire inside of him of something that was far more important than sports. And he got on fire for Jesus. You read about John Patton, missionary to the South Sea Islands off the coast of Australia, was known for cannibalism. Cannibalism. They said, "You're crazy, man. Don't you know that they're going to eat you when you go over there?" He said, "Oh, I died before I came." He's like Paul. None of these things move me. Amen. That's a man that had some passion about it. Passion. C.T. Hudson Taylor, man that moved China. God, that man had some passion. You read about these guys. George Whitefield used to stand and preach, "You must be born again." Stood up and preached with the power of God on his life. You know why people are getting saved? Because they seen a man that believed what he was saying. They seen a man that had a fire burning in his heart. Amen. Can I tell you, young people, hey, listen, if you're going to win some of your friends, some of your schoolmates, if you're going to win some of your neighbors to Jesus, they got to see something in you that they don't have. They got to see some joy. They got to see some peace. They got to see some happiness about the things of God. Amen. 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 Same goes for me. Same goes for you. We're going to win some people, there's got to be some passion. Amen. Amen. You know what? You say, well, how's that going to happen? Number one, you got to get in the book. You got to get in this right here. Listen, you're not going to get a heart on fire for God without spending time in this. The psalmist said, "While I was musing, the fire burned." The psalmist said, "Man, when I began to think about God's commandments, when I began to think about the goodness of God, there was a fire that started burning." Amen? I don't know about you, I like to be around people that's got a fire burning in their heart. Amen. I don't like to be around dead Christians. I don't like to be around people that say, "Yeah, well, I'm saved," but man, you can't tell by looking at their face. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, it's wonderful to be saved. I've got eternal life. My sins are forgiven. My name's written in heaven. I got the Holy Spirit of God. I'm sealed into the day of redemption. I'm not going to hell. Amen. We got something. Hey, we got something that ought to give us, at least put a smile on your face. Amen. Hey, at least make you ought to pump it up a notch or two in the volume when you sing a hymn. Amen. We got something that's real. Get in the book. And then number two, spend time with people that are passionate. And it'll wear off on you. That's what I like to do. I like to find people that love Jesus, and I want to get around them. I want it to rub off on me. I want to read after them. I want to spend time with them. I want to ask them questions. Amen. You ought to do the same thing. Young people, you know what you ought to do? You ought to try to identify some of the people in this church that you can just tell, well, they love Jesus. They're always talking about Jesus. They're always happy in Jesus. And you ought to spend as much time as you can with those people. You ought to pray for them, and you ought to just make a friend. You ought to let them be your mentor. That'd be one of the greatest decisions you could ever make. Amen. And you pray for the ones that you see around you that don't have that joy. But you spend time with some older folks in this church that's got some passion. Amen. Next, number four, it's going to take some perseverance. The writer of the Hebrews said this. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and let us and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us." He said, it's not a 100-yard dash. It's not a sprint. It's going to take some perseverance. In other words, you can't quit when it gets tough. Some of you young people, listen, you're an encouragement to my heart, because I know it's not as easy for some of you as it is for others to be here tonight. And I want to applaud you for that. Listen, some young people, they have to crawl over their parents to serve God. There's never an excuse not to serve God, but thank God for that. They're not quitting just because things might be a little tough. Amen? And the sooner we can learn that lesson, the better. Because things are going to get difficult, right? In this world ye shall have tribulation. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's coming. If we're going to run to win, we got to learn what it takes to press on when things get tough. So the application is, don't quit when things are tough, and then finish what you start. If you start something, finish it. We have several that signed up for Bible quiz. There's going to come a time when you're going to contemplate, man, why did I sign up for this Bible quiz? You're going to be about 2 weeks into that month and you hadn't started memorizing your verses, and you're going to say, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore after this year. This is going to be my last year Bible quiz. Hey, don't quit. Finish what you start.
Amen.
Amen. Just get in there and memorize your verses. It's possible. Amen. Don't quit. Finish what you start. You say, Brother Brandon, have you always finished what you started? I haven't. And shame on me. But with God's help, I want to finish what I start. Now, let me qualify that by just saying this. There's some things maybe you ought to quit if it's not right. If you started doing something that wasn't right, you ought to quit doing that. So don't take what I'm saying and run with it. Say, well, I just got to finish this thing. You might be out of God's will, like I was when I went to University of South Carolina. I went there for 1 year and I knew I'm out of God's will. You know what I did? I stopped going. If you're out of God's will, you ought to stop and then get in God's will and then start what you finish. Amen? Persevere. And then lastly, Paul had a purpose. Look, if you will, verse number 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. And then he said, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul said, you know what? I got a purpose behind running. You say, why should I run? Why should I run? Why should I do all these things, Brother Brandon? Why should I serve God? Paul said, there's a crown. Hey, listen, this is more. It's more than just you giving a bunch of effort and preparing and working hard and doing all these things I've talked about. Listen, eternity's real. One day, we're going to receive a crown. Now, Paul said, the ones that run the Olympic Games, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. It's going to fade away one day. Guess what? You and I are going to get one. Never fades away. And one day, you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find you'll be able to lay that crown at Jesus' feet. I don't want to go empty-handed. I don't want to live my life and then get down to the end of it and have to watch everybody else lay all their crowns at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine? And there I am empty-handed because I didn't prepare. I wasn't willing to work hard. I wasn't willing to do what it takes. Maybe I got saved, but I quit. I don't want to stand there empty-handed. Paul realized it could happen to him. That's what he said in verse number 27. He said, you know what my greatest fear is? That I could preach a message like the one I'm preaching. He said, I could get up and I could preach that and then I would be a castaway. He's not talking about losing his salvation. He settled that in Romans chapter number 8. He's talking about, you know what? I don't want to stand before God empty-handed. Running to win. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's run to win. I'm going to say a couple of things, and I'll turn over to the pastor. Young people, the day's coming sooner than you realize when you're going to have to be ready to receive the baton. The pastor says it often here that children, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today, but they're the leaders of tomorrow. Are you going to be ready to receive the baton? I hope you'll take some of these things to heart. I hope you'll learn some responsibility. I hope you'll learn what it means to have a personal walk with God. But then let me say this. Maybe you're here tonight, and the reason why you don't have any passion, or you can't persevere, or you don't have any joy, is because you've never been saved. It doesn't matter how hard you try, what kind of race you try to run, if you get down to the end of it and you have to hear the Lord say, I never knew you. Don't run the race without being enlisted in the race. It's impossible. Father, I pray that you would take the words that have been spoken tonight. Use them to accomplish your purpose in hearts. I pray if there be one here that's never been saved. Lord, maybe they're playing the church game tonight. Maybe they're here just because they had to come with mom and dad. Maybe they're trying to impress someone. Maybe they're just here out of habit. I pray, God, that you would show them tonight their need of a Savior. And I pray that they'd be saved. I pray, Lord, that you would help us that are running to run to win. For your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, Pastor, you come.